good to see all these smiling faces tonight.
Oh, yeah.
All the way from Minnesota.
Oh, really?
Yep. My cousin all the way in the back. He's shy. So, I'm going to pray for us real quick. Heavenly Father, I come before you thanking you for your word, thanking you for the privilege to expound on your word and feed your sheep. I pray that you would equip me. I pray that you would anoint my lips, and I pray that you would help me to decrease in this so that you would increase. Be with me, Lord, and help me to preach. And it's in Christ's name that I pray. Amen.
Amen.
So the verse that I'm preaching from tonight is Psalm 46, verse 10. And it reads, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth."
Yeah.
I love the book of Psalms. It is a... I would say it's probably one of my favorite books in the Bible.
Yes.
And if I were trapped on an island and was only able to pick one book, it would be a really, really hard battle between the book of Psalms and the Gospel of John.
Yeah.
In the Hebrew, this book is called the Psalms of Praise. And it is a collection of 150 songs meant to be sang during public worship. Most of them are contributed to David, and this one is included. There are some that think that this psalm may have been written by Hezekiah about the siege of Sennacherib, but those guys are smarter than me, and I'm gonna let them deal with that. Those who believe that David wrote this psalm believe that he wrote it after beating either the Moabites, the Ammonites, or the other nations around him in battle. It is testifying to the goodness of God's presence in times of trouble. The 18th century Baptist theologian John Gill says this psalm is a prophecy of the church in gospel times, and is applicable to any time of confusion or distress.
Yes. No.
Right. It is said that the 16th century reformer Martin Luther sang this psalm during his times of trouble. If you know anything about Martin Luther's life, especially after he posted the 95 Theses, dude had lots of trouble.
Yeah.
It is said that this psalm is the motivation for the hymn, "A Mighty Fortress."
Yes.
This psalm begins by proclaiming that the Lord is our refuge and strength, and is the very presence in the time of trouble. This psalm testifies to the sovereignty of God in both natural and national disasters.
Yes.
And trying to make sense of some of these things, as well as our own personal life controversies, we often find ourselves questioning the actions of God. Mm-hmm. Some of us wonder, is he there listening to our prayers? Some of us tend to forget that he is the one who brings peace and calamity for the sole purpose of carrying out his divine decree.
Yes.
I mean, we sometimes find ourselves wondering if God even knows what he's doing. Some might even be tempted to think that they could do God's job better than him.
Right.
However, we need to stop and acknowledge who the one is who's actually in control.
Yeah.
After the psalmist proclaims that the Lord is the one who brings peace, and destroys our feeble instruments of war. In verse 10, we see that the divine, the true divine author of this text, breaks through and proclaims that, well, first of all, commands us that we need to be still, know that he is God, and that he will exalt his name in all of the earth. In our text this evening, we've been given two commands and a promise. We are commanded to stop, know that God is God, and we are promised that he will be exalted. So the first phrase I want to focus in on is be still. Be still means to cease or stop. Yes. We've been told this since we were little kids. Yeah. I have many memories. My cousin can probably attest to them, of me ripping and running through the house, most likely causing a ruckus. And one of the adults would come along and snatch me up and tell me to stop all that carrying on and be still. Those of you who have small children or have had small children at some point in your life know what I'm talking about. In the life of a parent or even grandparent, there is sometimes a battle to get them to just be still. I don't know what it is about small children, but they just can't do it. I remember trying to get my youngest son, Malachi, to be still and take a nap. And he would find some kind of way to move his body. It didn't matter what it was, if he would shake his head, move his hand, wiggle a foot, squirm. He had to move and defy me in some kind of way. Yeah. And this is from the beginning, at months old. Baby didn't want to be still. You would think we grow out of that. Well, however, we go to and fro carrying on more as adults than we do as children. Yeah. Yeah. We're so consumed with our modern lives that we never just stop and be still. Right. Because of smart devices or destructions of mass distraction, as I've heard it called. Even when we are sitting down, we still find a way to keep ourselves busy. Yep. Ecclesiastes 3:7 says that there is a time to rent and a time to sow, a time to keep silent and a time to speak. Yes, there is a time when we must be productive. But there's also a time when we need to just stop and chill.
Amen.
We get so worked up about everything going on around us that we forget to make time for God.
Right.
We make time for the things we find are important. And having a private devotional life, it should be one of the most important things we do.
Yeah. That's right.
We need to take the time to stop worrying about bills, politics, what's going on in China and Russia, what's going on the TV, what so-and-so said about us on Facebook and Twitter, or even what's going to be on the TV tonight, and just be still.
Amen.
We need to just open the Bible, pray, and be still. We need to stop trying to fight against the decree of God and trying to dictate how we want our lives to live and just surrender.
Yes. Amen. Harder
should. We need to just sit down, shut up, and be still.
Right. Yeah.
Be silent, O all flesh, for he is raised up out of his holy habitation.
Yes.
Stop being a stubborn toddler fighting against the sovereign hand of our Heavenly Father.
Right. Amen.
Stop constantly asking him why and just be still.
Yeah.
I'm not saying it's wrong to ask the Lord for answers.
Thank you, Lord.
But let's be for real. How are you gonna hear the answers if you ain't listening?
Right.
Isaiah 40 says that they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Stop trying to rebel against what the Lord has told us is not good for us. Don't be afraid of what's going to happen next in this crazy world. Be still and surrender to the sovereign rule of the Lord Almighty and recognize that you are not God.
Amen.
And so we get to my next phrase. Know that I am God.
Yes.
Along with being told to be still, we are told to know that He is God.
Yes.
Not us, Him. And to know something is to be absolutely sure of it.
Yep.
We aren't to just assume there is a God or to think there is a God. We are to be absolutely certain that there is a God in heaven.
Yes. Amen.
We are to recognize that we are just finite beings made from the dust of the ground. And there is only one true God.
Amen.
We are to be aware that this world is not just a cosmic accident waiting to spiral out of control.
Yeah.
We are to know without a shadow of a doubt that there is a God on the throne in heaven working all things to the counsel of His own will. There is no need to worry because the plan that He has for you is good.
Right.
Psalm 14 calls the person who believes there is no God a fool. There's no way that the sun can rise and set every day and it not be controlled by the hand of the Almighty.
Amen.
There is no way that we just magically just had the chance of breathing in the exact same thing that the trees breathe out and breathing out the exact same thing that the trees breathe in. Life is not just a cosmic crapshoot,
right,
waiting to roll at 7 or 11. Every roll of the dice is controlled by the sovereign hand of God.
Amen.
But what is God? This is why I love these old Baptist documents.
Yes.
Because they help us not only know what others have believed before us, but they give us tools to help us find out what does the Bible believe, and how to teach others that are new to the faith what the Bible teaches.
Yes.
And so I turn to question 7 in the Baptist Catechism that asks this question. And not only, it gives us an amazing response. God is a spirit, infinite, eternal, unchangeable in His being, wisdom, power, holiness, justice, goodness, and truth.
Yeah.
None of those attributes sound anything like us, do they?
No. No.
We are not God. Anyone who tells you that we are gods is lying to you.
Right.
There is only one God in heaven. The 1689 Confession goes on to expound on this by saying that the Lord our God is but one and living true God, whose subsistence is in of Himself infinite in being and perfection, whose essence cannot be comprehended by any but himself.
Amen.
A most pure spirit, invisible, without body, parts, or passions, who only hath immortality, dwelling in the light which man cannot approach unto, who is immutable, immense, eternal, incomprehensible, almighty, every way infinite and most holy, most wise, most free, most absolute, working all things according to the counsel of his immutable and righteous will for his own glory. It goes on to say a lot more, but I lost my place, so. But these old Baptist documents don't sound like they're describing a small, puny God whose plans can be frustrated by the actions of man.
Right, for sure.
This sounds like a big and mighty God that is wise and all-knowing, and able to work out all the necessary details of my life and your lives better than I can and better than you think you can.
Amen.
This is the God speaking to us in our text.
Amen.
This is Elohim. The God who is one in essence and three, but three in person. The same God that spoke everything into existence. The interesting thing about the word Elohim is that it is a plural word, but it's being used in a singular sense. This word directly points to the Trinity. The 1689 Confession goes on to say in paragraph 3 that in this divine and infinite being, there are three subsistences: the Father, the Word or Son, and the Holy Spirit, of one substance, power, and eternity, each having the whole divine essence, yet the essence undivided. The Father is of none, neither begotten. The Son is begotten by the Father, and the Spirit proceeds from both the Son and the Father.
Yes.
All are infinite in the beginning, and therefore but one God, who should not be divided in nature, but distinguished by several peculiar relative properties and personal relations. In order to know him, you must understand that he has revealed himself as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Yes.
He didn't start off as the Father and turn into the Son and finish as the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
Amen. Each one is just as much God as the next. No, I'm not contradicting myself. If your Bible has this verse, 1 John 5:7 says that there are three that bear witness in heaven: the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one.
Amen. Amen.
Just because it's hard to make sense of, don't mean it's not true.
Yeah, yeah. Right.
It's hard for me to make sense of taxes, but that don't mean I still don't gotta pay them. We can't just make up a God that has the attributes we like.
Right.
I cringe a little bit when I hear people say, "That's your God, not mine."
Well, yeah.
Sorry to tell you this, but that's not a God. It's an idol.
Right.
We must know that the God of the Bible is the only true God, and there is no other.
Amen.
Thus saith the Lord, "Let not the wise glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him glory in this, that he knoweth and understands me, that I am the Lord, which exercises loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For it is these things that I delight, saith the Lord. That's from the words of the man himself. Our greatest blessing in this life and in the next is that we know the Lord. None of this nonsense going on here on earth should cause us to worry, because we know that there is a God in control.
Yeah. Amen.
The same God that has promised to exalt himself among the heathen and in the earth is the same God that sent his son to die on a cross.
That's right.
And I get to my last phrase that I want to focus on, is that he will be exalted. This word "will" expresses inevitable future events. It's going to happen. The enemies of God can't stop it.
Right.
They can fight all they want. They can fuss all they want. They can try to burn all the Bibles and even outlaw it, but the word of God will stand forever.
Amen.
He will be exalted. Nothing we can do about that.
Yeah.
To be exalted is to be raised up and praised.
Yeah.
This is to view something with honor. Almost like when you see the sports movies and the guy at the end wins the last shot that finally gets them to the championship, and everybody lifts him up on their shoulders and, yip, hooray!
Yeah.
I never happened to me.
This is to give God his rightful place as king of the earth.
Yeah, amen.
He has told us twice that he will be exalted. You see, I'm going to give you a little hermeneutical tip. When the Bible repeats something, pay attention.
Okay.
If it says it twice, it means it's important.
Yeah.
And in this text, God is telling us that one day all the nations will praise his holy name. The heathen are the nations or the people who don't know the true God. This used to be the other nations around Israel. Now this is just those who don't know that there is a God in heaven. These are the nations that once worshipped idols and sacrificed their children to Molech. I don't remember which nation he's from. It was just in my head, and then it just went like that. But these were the nations that were excluded from the Mosaic covenant.
Yep.
These are all Gentiles or nations. And we see that this has come true through the work of our Lord Jesus Christ. He died not only for the sins of the Jews, but the sins of Gentiles also.
Yes.
It don't matter if you are the descendants of Abraham or not.
Right.
Colossians 3:11 says that there are neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is in all and of all. Whether you are the seed of Abraham or not, it doesn't matter. Because like John the Baptist said, God can raise up rocks as seed of Abraham.
Amen.
The ethnic barrier of Jew and Gentile has been torn down, and now all the people of the earth can know the true God. This faith may have started in Israel, but it has spread all over the world. There are people in Africa that praise the name of the Lord.
Yeah.
There are people in the Philippines that praise the name of the Lord.
Yes.
There are people in India who are praising the name of the Lord.
Amen.
There are people in China praising the name of the Lord.
That's right.
And we are here in the United States praising his name.
Amen.
There will come a day when everyone on earth will praise the name of the Lord. See, the earth is referring to the entire planet. So whether you think it's round or flat, everyone on this planet will know that there is a God.
Even the flat one.
Yeah. Even the flat ones. And see, there will come a day when Jesus will return and take his throne as King of Kings. And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And righteousness. He doth judge and make war. His eyes were as flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew, but he himself. And he was clothed in a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God.
Yes.
And the armies of which in heaven followed him, clothed in fine linen, and out of his mouth came a short sword, and he will smite the nations, and he will rule them with a rod of iron. And he had on his vesture and on his thigh the name King of Kings and Lord of Lords.
Yeah. Amen.
You don't want to wait till that day to praise him. On that day when he returned, it's not going to be a pretty one for those who don't know him. And if you don't know him now, I urge you not to wait. See, all you need is a little faith.
Yeah.
Hebrews 11 says, without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must first believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him.
Yes.
Saying that word diligently took some practice. I'm a...
Be diligent,
brother. You see, his grace is free. And the debt of our sin has been paid for.
Yeah. Amen.
Just believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and ye shall be saved.
Yeah.
He said that no one can come to the Father without through him.
Amen.
Stop running from God and acknowledge that he is King. It don't matter how good of a person you think you are. None of us are good people.
Amen.
We all deserve hell.
Yeah, you're right.
So, yes, a good God will send people to hell for not knowing him, because these people transgress his law and deserve it. He wouldn't be a good God if he did it. But this God had mercy on us. And he chose to send his son to die. And all. The only stipulation is that we believe. And so if you don't know the Lord, I close this message by just pleading that you would believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved.
Amen.
Let me close in prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you that you are merciful. I thank you that you are patient with us. I ask that you would help us to be still. Help us to acknowledge that you are God. And I pray that you would exalt yourself in the earth someday soon.
Yes.
I pray that you would strengthen us and encourage us. And remind us who you are. And help us to be like the wind when Jesus spoke and be still.